Right, there we go. There's the recording. Thank you, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Make sure digital migration. December 2011. Our current thinking is that the commencement of the performance period for dual illumination and the proposed digital switch-on date of April 2012 should be the same date. Now, the new digital terrestrial television regulations, we hope, will be published in the Government Gazette either this coming Friday or by the latest, the 30th of September. The regulations clearly specify that digital migration to DTT will take place using the second generation digital video broadcast transmission, DVB-T2 standard. The definition of an incumbent broadcasting licensee is removed and replaced with the concept of a terrestrial television broadcasting service. There's a reduction of the capacity allocated to the SABC, ETV, and MNET in multiplexes 1 and 2. They will still have more capacity under DVB-T2 than they were allocated under DVB-T. Community television broadcasting services are allocated 10% of multiplex 1 on the basis of their existing license coverage area. That will in effect provide a sub-regional network. Community television broadcasting services will not be required to dual illuminate. The aim here is that they should complete their migration by the end of the dual illumination period, in other words, by December 2013. At the same time, community television broadcasting services will not be entitled to digital intensive channels, as they are not required to do the internet. Percentage of both multiplexes is thus reserved for future use in view of the unpredictability and complexity of the digital migration process. The regulations also introduced a change to the digital TV intensive channel authorization procedure and enable terrestrial TV broadcasting services to apply for channel authorization to ICASA before the commencement of the performance period. So if we're saying that the performance period is likely to be April 2012, then there will be roughly a period of 3 months between December 2011 and April 2012 in which channel authorization can be undertaken. Obviously, channel authorization can continue at any point during the performance period, but this change is to allow for authorization processes to begin before the actual commencement of the dual illumination process in terms of the performance period. Doesn't happen as smoothly as anticipated. regulations to correct this by allocating 10% of Multiplex One for the use of community TV stations. And this obviously will be within their existing license coverage area. So CAT TV will be able to broadcast digitally within their Cape Town coverage area, TVN within the Eastern Cape, Soweto TV within their Gauteng coverage area. So the new regulations will accommodate both these newly licensed community TV stations as well as any that may become licensed during the next couple of years. So the thing about the community TV station is that this goes to the issue of dual illumination. So the dual illumination refers to a period in which a TV station has to broadcast both its analog signal and the new digital signal. And the dates that have been set by the minister are then between April 2012 and December 2013. So ETV, SABC, MNET will all have to broadcast both the analog signal and the digital signal in order to, in that period, affect the introduction of the set-top boxes, any changes that are needed, so that by the point of analog switch-off, then everyone will be on the new digital signal. Now, in the case of community TV, we're not asking them to do that. We're asking them to ensure that by the end of the December 2013, they have made the migration. But we're not requiring for them to carry both the analog and the new digital signal from April 2012. I hope that clarifies the issue of the dual illumination. The SABS process, it's not in our hands, it's in the hands of the South African Bureau of Standards. That is to do with setting the standards for the set-top box. Our role in that is simply to participate in the committee that is reviewing the standard. And then once that standard is set, then we have to do a type approval process, which is to simply ensure that what is going to be manufactured to comply. It doesn't stop the manufacturing process, it's just an additional check on the standard of the equipment. In terms of the Northern Cape, we would hope that they would have a full coverage of all digital terrestrial television channels. As you'll see in the broadcasting digital quality amendments, there's a provision for satellite broadcasting to be done in the Northern Cape, because that won't interfere with the SKA budget. But certainly we would expect that as a result of this digital television, for there to be full coverage of all digital terrestrial TV channels in the Northern Cape. On the issue of the Joint Spectrum Advisory Committee, this is really a committee of the stakeholders involved, the broadcasters, who will be going through the digital migration, both public, commercial, and community TV broadcasting, and Centre, and any other signal distributor, to deal with any issues with interference or any technical problems with regard to the frequency dimension of making decisions in migration. That's really the stakeholder committee to solve any problems that might arise in technical or spectrum nature during this process. So that's why I call it joint spectrum advisory, because it tries to bring in all the stakeholders on the technical dimension. I think that's what all the questions should be.
And I will talk then. Nicholas, the Fumbit and Rabah. Go ahead. Notice believe you are happy that you have done everything that you can to set this process. Thank you, Chairperson.
Another one today.
Do that probably within a month and upload by yourself.
MNET were wanting to launch their digital television offering in August, and we advised them not to proceed with that, on the grounds that the minister was planning to issue a policy amendment that would set the digital switch on date, and he has subsequently done that, April 2012. And in terms of our existing digital migration regulation, we also are required to set a performance period for dual illumination, which we have not done. So if MNET had launched in August 2011, they would have been in breach of the digital migration regulation. What we are advised with regard to the issue of these kind of digital migration processes, there was, for example, a Commonwealth Telecommunications Organization at the May workshop of that the department held on digital migration, who essentially was saying to us that these processes take much longer than everyone expects. So I think, yes, there was some delay as a result of the debate over the Japanese and the European standards, and that did cause some delay. What I think we are experiencing through these multi-stakeholder engagements that the DOC is organizing is that everyone involved is getting a clearer sense of what has to be done, and we are working towards that target. The final international deadline, as we understand it, set by the ITU, is the end of 2015. So I would think that, judging from the statements of the minister, that 2013 is a way of putting pressure on everyone to move. And at that point, then can be, there's still 2 years in the event that in this kind of a complex project, things don't go entirely according to plan, we still then have at least 2 years of wiggle room to get it finished. But that is simply my interpretation of that. The issue of the standards and what's happening at the South African Bureau of Standards is that they are developing the technical specs for set-top boxes. And this is a multi-stakeholder process. They have a committee that is looking at other international examples and debating and discussing what should be in the technical specifications for South African set-top boxes. We're participating in that as a stakeholder, technical people from our engineering and technology division are involved there. But what our actual role is that once the standard is set, then we have to undertake a type of approval process, which our technical people tell me can be done within a month. So if the standard is finalized in December of this year, then by January next year, we will have put in place the type of approval process. On the issue of channel authorization, yes, we've taken note of the concerns that broadcasters have indicated about this taking too long. What we have done is, in these regulations, say that the broadcasters can apply before the performance period. So we will see that the window between January, December and April in which channel authorization can take place. At the same time, because we are going through this consultative process, if broadcasters or any stakeholders have any ideas about how the channel authorization can be streamlined, then they're welcome to put those forward. Regarding a moratorium on licensing community television, I'm not aware that there's any moratorium.
something which not within your radar, or you hope that other things will sort it, maybe that's what you must say. But what I'm asking of participation and taking forward the strength of our people living in the society as a regulator for them when the things find like the Australian access like in America. I think that's where the question comes from. I hear your responses and so on. But is it part of your submission of your participation, or I'm never misreading the past 13 years? Does not mean anything about being prejudiced to look how the process unfolds. And so on. I'm never misreading the participation, what does it mean in relation to the past? Maybe you can help us around.
Thank you, Chair. Our representative there would be acting in terms of the outcome of the disability summit. We would support the necessary steps being taken, for example, through captioning in the remote to enable access for the persons living with disability.
And Amin?
Thanks, Chair. I asked a question because I responded in the council. I want to get clarity from the councillor. Was she referring to the community or she was responding to my question of community television?
From what I've been aware, we've had several complaints on community radio, applicants. As far as I'm aware, we have not received additional applications for community television. At least not yet. We've explained what we have to do, but I have not seen a physical application.
Honorable Ndabeni, Honorable. going to be talking to. They still hold the same view and the right of taking into court and so on. That does not diminish. I said because this is a migration, then they forfeit their right to take you to court if they don't agree with you in terms of the regulation. I don't hear you talking about the mitigating of that risk. And that assumes that is the regulation like any other regulation. People can still take you to court for many years. So, as a country where we are now, we've got the wish that at this time is where we are going. But we are not certain because the regulations are not done and are not true. So, nobody knows actually when the regulation will be finished. I'm just raising that so that we don't move out here with the understanding that everything is fine, on board, everything will move. I'm just raising. If it's not true, what I'm raising, there will be no legal challenge and so on. So that there is that the 10 years we are saying that Friday, you probably next week, then a month, then you put the regulations which are ready and you can move forward. You'll help me around that particular matter because we don't want to finish this process under the assumption that everything accordingly will be in terms of the timeline. And that brings me to the question to say, probably in the 2013 is in danger, that because no one will move until the regulation is finalized. If we are taken to court by 6 months or a year, or whatever reason, then we drag it, means the whole thing collapses. So it won't reach the 2013, it can be another year and so on, because we'll be taken to court and people are exercising their right to do so. I'm trying to understand, so maybe you can help us. What is this, that mean and so on? So that there is that possibility. You see, you see when they presented a showcase. But when you are presenting now, you say the regulation is still under the code and normal processes. I'm not sure whether we do have a showcase in terms of the timeline pending your regulation. But my understanding is that you might have the policy. But if Mnet could postpone its launch, because we have anticipated that they might be taking on the regulation and so on, it means no one else can move before that process has been finalized and so on. Now, I hope Centec, whatever they are doing, is in line with the regulation, because I remember one time there was an argument that the transmitters are not at the level which you wanted. They have to undo certain things and so on. I want to ask you, what is the certainty about what Centec is currently doing as a regulator? Will what you're doing now have an impact to them? Because we spend the public tax from public money, what they did last time, and they had to discover that the transmitter was supposed to be at this level, not at that level, and so on. They already have spent money and so on. So I just want the comfort that probably this regulation they're dealing with are not going to affect them, so that they continue roll out whatever they are rolling out later, the regulation comes there, something like that. If that's not going to happen, that will help the certainty in terms of what they are doing. But I just want a response in terms of the regulation process. Are the same as all the other ones, who sometimes are taken to court for a year or 2 months and other things and so on. And is it correct, my assertion that before you finalize the regulation, nothing will move, even might be even the bigger deadline, provided the regulation are not true? Because you were saying ETV and SABC, there are some areas which they don't think through might be happy around that, which means it's opening up for them to engage to any cause of action which they want to in terms of the regulation as one part. But the second part is that I was told that at one point that you will see a talk about encryption. Where does that responsibility lie? It lies with the OC or the regulatory, the encryption issue. Because I didn't read the original regulation, but I was told that encryption was there, but it seemed to be out on the second part. Where does it lie? The encryption, the elimination is a matter of the OC or is the regulatory? That's the comfort there. So that as we move forward, we are clear in terms of this thing, because we don't want to say that much of
clean up the Northern Cape, or all frequencies suddenly disappear with astronomy at 20 GHz, basically. So we have done that job. We have regenerated new frequencies outside those that disappear with the telescopes, and we have conquered the Minister on the regulations and on the Act. So if we don't win, and that's to brief you, in May, in August, our submissions went in Canada and together with Australia. In May, they will select the winner. And in June, the winner will be announced. That is either South Africa or Australia. But whether we win or we don't win, to host that telescope, we still have our own telescope in the archives that we need to look after in terms of all those conditions. What is left with us at Inkatha is to amend the broadcasting frequency plan of 2008 to include the amendments that have already done. The amendments have been done. We just have to include them on the frequency plan. That will be the last thing we need to put in place in order to qualify for the speed. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
but the whistle will always remain with us. Thank you.
That was the last response from Incasa.
No, thanks, Chair. I don't think there's variation in terms of our response and what Councillor Macario has indicated. We were responding to a statement made by Honourable from the back that during the outside visit to Soweto, they were told that by Mnet that that's the DOC we are holding back, we held them back from launching. And our response was that we are not aware that we have a map from launching. However, we are aware that they wanted to launch and they had a conversation with the authority and there was a specific outcome. Which outcome meant that they would not proceed with the launch. Then what Councillor Caro was saying was that they did address Mnet not to proceed given the issue of the performance period.
Thank you, Honourable Esther.
Can I ask a
these regulations, unlike the previous regulations, we've made provision for community TV stations, additional community TV stations. We made that provision, which the previous regulations did not make provision for. So I think that is my, that is probably our most structured answer. But officially, we have, at least at council level, I must say this, at least at council level, we have not declared an auditorium on television, a licensed community television station. It's just that at a practical level, it's not possible at this juncture.
Do you find to have about notice number 2288 of 2010 from your staff? What does that notice say? Can you tell me notice 288 of 2010? What does that notice say?
Chairman, that's what I'm saying. At least at a. We will look at it.
You see, my problem is that you don't seem to be knowing what they're talking about. Because you say, I raised this issue already, and I'm saying we're doing oversight. We're meeting people there, not in banking, whatever you are. What's that say? In banking. We don't meet them in banking. We meet them down in KwaZulu-Natal, in Eastern Cape, in Mpumalanga, Northwest, and other regions. They are saying they are talking about the motor project. And you say here, in this forum, only radio no broadcasting. I'm saying, notice number 288 of 2010, what does that say? You see, now you start to say, I will check maybe. You see, the problem is that once you do that, how much more must we believe about your entire decision? That's the thing, because it brings your credibility to question. We see these members, yes, we do constituency work and oversight. When we raise an issue, we know what you talk about. We don't have to raise the issue sometimes for the final part of the issue. You know, your notice 288 of 2010. It isn't written by this parliament or anyone, it's written by you. But you come here, you give all sorts of reasons and other things as well. It's a shame. You must not do that. If you don't know, you must say you don't know, you are going to check and come back, but don't try to give certificates to you. You can't work like that. That's a problem. Anyway, we are not here about the community broadcasting, but it's a matter which is very important in terms of this process. I'm sure the community broadcasters say, yeah, that there's no moratorium. So tomorrow, I want to see on the website which officially withdraw 288 of 2010. Okay? Tomorrow on the website, you must officially withdraw notice 288 of 2010 or whatever thing which you will put there. Because we are saying that not exist was accidental. So we tell the community broadcaster that their licenses are going to be proceeded with and they are going to be issued because the red letter here in Parliament is saying there's no of such things is business as usual. I don't know what it is. So agree check. That there's no more Kenya. Licenses will go ahead.
Chairman, I did say typically it doesn't make sense to license community radio, community TV stations at this juncture. Technically not, but we will look at it. I'm told that the notice was signed by our previous chairman, Paris Mashida, but we'll look at it.
You cannot divorce yourself from what the chairperson signed. That's not an excuse. That chairperson signed under the authority of the regulation. There's no issue. I'm saying, if you are saying there is no more moratorium, can we go back to our constituency hospital and tell them and go on? There's no problem. Then we will hear when I come to process of application for to deny yes to the meeting. Honorable Killen and Honorable
try and settle all the issues. So I think we must give them credit, Chairperson. You are too harsh in due respect, sir.
I've never been harsh. Mr. Perez must be assigned to 8-8 of 2010. I'm just referring to that. That's all. There's no harshness if they are on notice. It's not my notice, it's not the committee notice, Honorable Sir. Engaging on this issue, it means if they come hard and so on, you have to be